despondent if I miss a meeting, you know. The castle on the other side of the valley was much more rugged than Lady Margalotta's confectionery item. Even so, the gates were wide open and didn't look as though they were often closed. The main door was tall and heavy-looking. The only thing that suggested it hadn't been ordered from the standard castle catalogue was the smaller, narrow door a few feet high set into it. "What's that for?" said Vimes. "Even a dwarf would bump their head."
"I suppose it depends on what shape you are when you go in," said Cheery darkly.
The main door opened as soon as Vimes had laid his hand on the wolf's head knocker, but he was ready this time. "Good morning, Igor," he said.
"Good day, Your Excellency," said Igor, bowing.
"Igor and Igor, send their regards, Igor."
"Thank you, Your Excellency. Since you mention it, could I put a parcel on your coats for Igor?"
"You mean the Igor at the embassy?"
"That's who I said, sir," said Igor patiently. "He asked me if I could lend him a hand."
"Yep, no problem there."
"Good. It's well wrapped up, and the ice will keep it nice and fresh. Would you step this way? The master is changing at the moment."
Igor shambled into a wide hall, one side of which was mostly fireplace, and bowed out.
"Did he say what I thought he said?" said Vimes. "About the hand and ice?"
"It's not what it sounds like, sir," said Cheery.
"I hope so. My God, look at that damned thing!" A huge red flag hung from the rafters. In the middle of it was a black wolf's head, its mouth full of stylized flashes of lightning.
"Their new flag, I think," said Cheery.
"I thought it was just a crest with a double-headed bat.
Perhaps they thought it was time for a change, sir."
"Ah, Your Excellency, isn't Sybil with you?"
The woman who had entered was Angua, but padded somewhat with years. She was wearing a long, loose green gown, very old-fashioned by Ankh-Morpork standards, although there are some styles that never go out of date on the right figure. She was brushing her hair as she walked across the floor.
She's staying at the embassy today. We had a rather difficult journey. You would be the Baroness Seraphine von Oberwald.
And you're Sam Vimes. Sybil's letters are all about you. The Baron won't be long. We were out hunting and lost track of time.
I expect it's a lot of work, seeing to the horses, said Vimes politely.
Seraphine's smile went strange for a moment.
Ha, yes, she said. Can I get Igor to fetch you a drink?
No, thank you.
She sat down on one of the overstuffed chairs and beamed at him.
You've met the new king, Your Excellency?
This morning.
I believe he's having trouble.
What makes you think that? Said Vimes.
Seraphine looked startled.
I thought everyone knew.
Well, I've hardly been here 5 minutes, said Vimes. I probably don't count as everyone.
Now, he was pleased to note, she looked puzzled.
We just heard there was some problem, she said.
Oh, well, a new king, a coronation to organise, a few problems are bound to occur, he said.
Well, he thought, so this is diplomacy. It's like lying, only to a better class of people.
Yes, of course.
Angua is well, said Vimes.
Are you sure you won't have a drink? Said Seraphine quickly, standing up. Ah, here is my husband.
The Baron entered the room like a whirlwind that had swept up several dogs. They bounded ahead of him and danced around him.
Hello, hello, he boomed.
Vimes looked at an enormous man. Not fat, not tall, just built perhaps one-tenth over scale. He didn't so much have a face with a beard as a beard with, peeking over the top in that narrow gap between the moustache and the eyebrows, small remnants of face. He bore down on Vimes in a cloud of leaping bodies, hair and a smell of old carpets. Vimes was ready for the handshake when it came, but even so had to grimace as his bones were ground together.
Good of you to come, hey? Heard so much about you.
But not enough, Vimes thought. He wondered if he'd ever have the use of his hand again. It was still being gripped. The dogs had transferred their attention to him. He was being sniffed.
Greatest respect for Ankh-Morpork, hey?
Said the Baron.
Good,
said Vimes. Blood was getting no further than his wrist.
Have seat,
the Baron barked. Vimes had been trying to avoid the word, but that was exactly how the man spoke, in short, sharp sentences, every one an exclamation. He was herded towards a chair. Then the Baron let go of his hand and flung himself onto the huge carpet, the excited dogs piling on top of him. Seraphine made a noise somewhere between a growl and the ch of wifely disapproval. Obediently, the Baron pushed the dogs aside and flung himself into a chair.